Tameva Bhashisha Bidashrayepi Sarvam Pritaktvam Nigamatkatam Vedeti Yuktena Vrittam Prabhunabalovai. Have you got it, Chalangi? Naite Sharesha Rishio Nachaite Tvameva Bhashi Shabhidashrayepi Sarvam Pritaktvam Nigamatkatam Vaditi Uktena Vrittam Prabhunabalovai. Synonyms? Na, not. Ete, these boys. Sura Isha, the best of the demigods. Rishya, great sages. Na, not. Cha, and. Ete, these calves. Twam, you, Krishna. Eva, alone. Bhasi, are manifesting. Isha, O Supreme Controller. Bidashraye, in the existence of varieties of difference. Api, even. Sarvam, everything. Pritak, existing. Twam, you, Krishna. Nigamat, briefly. Katam, how? Vada, please explain. Iti, thus. Uktena, having been requested by Baladev. Vritam, the situation. Prabhuna, having been explained by Lord Krishna, Baladev, Evite, understood. Translation. Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods as I previously thought. Nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you're existing in the different forms of the calves and boys. Please briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation and Baladev understood it. Please repeat. Lord Baladev said, O Supreme Controller, these boys are not great demigods, as I had previously thought, nor are these calves great sages like Narada. Now I can see that you alone are manifesting yourself in all varieties of difference. Although one, you are existing in the different forms of the calves and boys. Please briefly explain this to me. Having thus been requested by Lord Baladev, Krishna explained the whole situation and Baladev understood it. Wonderful purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Inquiring from Krishna about the actual situation, Lord Balaram said, My dear Krishna, in the beginning, I thought that all these cows, calves, and coward boys were either great sages and saintly persons or demigods. But at present it appears that they're actually your expansions. They're all you. You yourself are playing as the calves and cows and boys. What's the mystery of this situation? Where have those other calves and cows and boys gone? And why are you expanding yourself as the cows, calves, and boys? Will you kindly tell me what is the cause? At the request of Balaram, Krishna briefly explained the whole situation, how the calves and boys were stolen by Brahma, and how he concealed that the original cows and calves and boys were missing. He briefly explained the whole situation, how the calves and boys were stolen by Brahma, and how he was concealing the incident by expanding himself so that people would not know that the original cows, calves, and boys were missing. Balaram understood, therefore, that this was not Maya, but Krishna's opulence. Krishna has all opulences, and this was but another opulence of Krishna. At first, Lord Balaram said, I thought that these boys and calves were a display of the great power of great sages like Narada. But now I see that all these boys and calves are you. After inquiring from Krishna, Lord Balaram understood that Krishna himself had become many. That the Lord can do this is stated in the Brahma Samhita 5:33. Advaitam achutam anadam ananta rupam. Although he is one, he can expand himself in many forms. According to the Vedic version, ekam bahusham, he can expand himself into many thousands and millions, but still remain one. In that sense, everything is spiritual, because everything is an expansion of Krishna. That is, everything is an expansion either of Krishna himself or of his potency. Because the potency is non-different from the potent, the potency and the potent are one. Shakti, Shaktimator, Abheda. The Mayavadis, however, say, Chidananda Samanvaya, spirit and matter are one. This is a wrong conception. Spirit, chit, is different from matter, achit, as explained by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita 7, 4, and 5. Bhumir apanalo vayu kamano buddhir evacha hankara iti yamme bina prakritir ashtada aparyam itastvanyam prakritim vidime param jiva bhuta mahabaho yedam dayate jagat. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, altogether these eight comprise my separated material energies. But besides this inferior nature, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mine, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. End quote. Spirit and matter cannot be made one, for actually they are superior and inferior energies. Yet the Mayavadis or Advaitavadis try to make them one. This is wrong. Although spirit and matter ultimately come from the same one source, they cannot be made one. For example, there are many things that come from our bodies, but although they come from the same source, they cannot be made one. We should be careful to note that although the supreme source is one, the emanations from this source should be separately regarded as inferior and superior. The difference between the Mayavad and Vaishnav philosophies is that the Vaishnav philosophy recognizes this fact. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, therefore, is called Achintya Bheda Bheda, simultaneous oneness and difference. For example, fire and heat cannot be separated. For where there is fire, there's heat. And where there is heat, there's fire. Nonetheless, although we cannot touch fire, heat we can tolerate. Therefore, although they are one, they are different. Srila Prabhupada ki. nice purport, as always, in my attempt to try and serve the message of the Bhagavatam, I'd ask that you could join me in prayer, asking for the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our previous acharyas and the Lord. Maybe something good can come out of it. Om Ajnanatimadandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadandikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sijivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karana Sindo Dinabando Jigatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kapatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Srila Prabhupada ki. I'm just going to backtrack a couple of verses. Try and relish the flavor of this part of the pastime. Balaram, Lord Balaram, sees the calves running down, sees the cows treating them like the cows running down and treating the older calves as if they were their newborn calves, giving their milk, licking them like anything. Absorbed, lovingly serving them as if they were Krishna. And the same with the fathers upon seeing their children and coming in their company. Embracing them, licking their heads, forgetting the anger of losing control of the cows, etc. And Lord Balaram, when he saw this, he said, what is this wonderful phenomena? The affection of all the inhabitants of Vraj, including me, toward these boys and calves is increasing as never before. Just like our affection for Lord Krishna, the super soul of all living entities. Who is this mystic power? And where has she come from? Is she a demigod or a demoness? She must be the illusory energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder me? Thinking in this way, Lord Balaram was able to see with the eye of transcendental knowledge that all these calves and Krishna's friends were expansions of the form of Sri Krishna. And then today's verse where he asked Krishna, his younger brother, could you please explain what in the world is going on? So, in reflecting upon this, Lord Balaram's the personification, the possessor of some vit, potency. He has all knowledge. He is omniscient. But of course, in Vraj, he doesn't want to stay in that mode. He's thoroughly relishing, reciprocating with Krishna as the elder brother, rendering all kinds of services to Krishna. And of course, this is able to take place, Balaram serving him this way and Krishna reciprocating as a younger brother, because of the service of Yoga Maya, arranging everything and covering the awareness of Krishna and Balaram according to the sweetness of the pastimes and what will give pleasure to Krishna. It's incredible to see this. The chapter is entitled, Brahma Vimohana Leela, but as it's been said a number of times, everybody's bewildered. All of Vraj, everyone but Krishna was bewildered. And Lord Brahma will be coming down soon, and when he sees what's taking place, he's definitely going to be bewildered. So it's been alluded to in previous classes, but we've never heard the explanation of how Lord Balaram came to the awareness that Krishna is expanding himself into all the calves and the cowherd boys. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that it took place in four stages. And before I share that, I want to share something that I'd never heard before until Janani Vas Prabhu shared with me a Leela of Srila Prabhupada's. One time my Prabhu came into the room of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada had obviously been reading some commentary written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada said many things in glorification of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I'm not going to do justice to the pastime, but Janani Vas said it was as if he had many mouths. He was excited. Isn't that what you were conveying? He was excited in glorification. There's a microphone right there. This pastime is worth hearing. It has meaning. How was Srila Prabhupada? What was he saying? How was he acting?
Yeah, he was talking about Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And he said, such a scholar. There never was such a scholar. Since Jiva Goswami, there has never been such a scholar. His purpose, like he had five mouths, he was pouring like a volcano. It was glorification. So it was nice to hear Prabhupada, because we were always glorifying Prabhupada so much. But to hear Prabhupada glorifying the acharyas was especially nice.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes, Srila Prabhupada has given us a letter of invitation to our previous acharyas. By being his disciple or being his follower, we are in the family of our disciplic succession. And if we have firmly established our understanding of the Siddhantas of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva, etc., through the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then we can expand our adventure of growth in Krishna consciousness by hearing from our previous acharyas. And it's important to note that to access the teachings of our previous acharyas, we should always remain chaste to the teachings of our own founder acharya. We see the teachings of the founder acharya through the eyes of our spiritual master. The reality of it is there are no disagreements between the acharyas. And trying to understand that, certainly in the essence or in the purport of Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we're all His eternal servants. Our constitutional position is to render, our constitutional activities are to render service for Krishna's pleasure, and the fruit or the perfection of that loving service will be reawakening our transcendental love for Krishna. All the acharyas and all the sampradayas, they agree. Worship of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality, Krishna, Vishnu, is the duty of all of us. And details, one guru, another guru, details of application, that may be there. And also, individuality among the unlimited servants of the Lord is certainly there, and their perspectives and their loving relationships and the realizations that come because of that service and those relationships may have variety. But the point of being allowed to understand the previous acharyas is that there is unity in diversity. If you go to the Sri Chaitanya Math, where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur sits in his samadhi, go to his worshipful deities, Gandharvika, Giridhari, and circumambulate them, and you will see all four Sampradaya Acharyas and their masters from whom they received their teachings. You'll see Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Madhvacharya, and Nimbakacharya, and those who they received their teachings from, Brahma, Lakshmi, the Kumaras, and Lord Shiva. He wanted to emphasize, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to emphasize, that we are one in our service to the Lord, and that these teachings are simply the manifestation of the mercy of Krishna and Balaram according to the different time, place, and circumstance and nature of the conditioned souls in this material world. We happen to be so very fortunate because we're in Lord Chaitanya's disciplic succession, Gaudiya Madhva Brahma Sampradaya. We've been given the cream, the essence, the pinnacle of understanding something about the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, the son, the darling son of Mother Yasoda, the friends of Sridham and Sudham, the beloved of Srimati Radharani and the gopis of Vrindavan. This is so, so very confidential. Very rarely offered. Yet Lord Chaitanya came to taste the nectar in the mood of Srimati Radharani, service to himself, and shared it with those who are fortunate enough to receive it, to accept it. So anyway, we were starting with the point about the four levels of uncovering the mystery to Lord Balaram. First of all, for 1 year, minus 4 or 5 days, he was feeling ever-increasing love himself for all his friends, the coward boys. And he and the coward men were seeing the cows, the mother cows, lovingly serving their elder calves to the neglect of the younger calves. And for almost a year, it just didn't penetrate for them to go, what in the heck is going on? Because Yoga Maya was doing her magic according to the desire of Krishna. The question might be raised, well, why was Balaram covered? He's seeing, but he's not understanding. Doesn't take it as unusual. He's going with the flow of Krishna's mercy, reciprocating so lovingly with his friends, as if in the same mood and intensity of love as he is with Krishna. So why would he cover him? It's stated by our Acharya, Vishnanath Chagavari Thakur, because he didn't want Balaram to be sad in separation from his friends for the duration of this Leela to play out. So he covered him also. Balaram, to begin with, the first wave of the curtain opening it up a little bit as he says, hey, what's going on? This isn't right. Why are the coward men treating their sons as if they were Krishna? Why are the cows treating their elderly calves as if they were Krishna? They're showing such spontaneous, ecstatic symptoms of love for them. What's going on? That's the first wave. He questions. He realizes something's amiss. The second wave is he begins to think, are these the manifestation of some maya or magic of demigods? Perhaps the work of some great sages like Narada's mentioned in the verse. He even contemplated, could this be the tricks of the servants of Kamsa? They couldn't kill Krishna. Maybe they're trying to bewilder us and somehow or other take advantage of that bewilderment. And then he reflected, no, that can't be possible. I mean, there's no maya of this material world that it could influence me, could cover my knowledge. I mean, the expansion, Lord Mahavishnu, he controls Maya. She can't bewilder him. What to speak of bewildering me? So no, it can't be that. That's the second wave. The third wave is, oh, this must be Krishna's work. This must be his yoga maya, his magic. And then the fourth wave is where he realizes, definitely, this is Krishna. And he approaches him and asks him, what have you done? What are you doing? Where are our friends? Where are the calves? Why have you replaced them? Why are you yourself expanded? And we can say unlimitedly. There was that word, asankhyate, I think it was. An unlimited number of calves and cowherd boys. And Krishna expanded himself into all of them, the one supreme person. We heard a wonderful class by Antardweep Prabhu, reading from Lord Chaitanya's teachings, where he was telling about the different expansions of Krishna. And to keep it very simple, there's Swamsa, the expansions of the Lord himself, Vishnu Tattva, and there's Vibhinamsa, his part and parcels. Now these calves and cowherd boys, for the most part, are his eternal associates. But they are his expansions, they are his potency. And that is the point, that although Krishna is one, he has unlimited ability to expand in countless forms, ananta rupam, and he has unlimited potencies, prasya shaktir vididaya shuyate. And all the expansions of himself, right on up to Lord Balaram, the immediate expansion, the very first expansion, they all have the service attitude. They simply want to serve and please Krishna. And that's how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains why Lord Balaram was gently allowed to understand what was taking place. Because he didn't want to disturb his devotion, his affection for Krishna, by just simply very quickly with jarred into omniscience of realizing this is Krishna's work, his yoga maya at play. So very slowly it unfolded. And it just shows the supremacy of Krishna. Ekala Ishvara Krishna Ara Sarva Britya. Even Vishnu Tattva, even Lord Balaram, everyone is a servant of Krishna. And this is a wonderful pastime that delineates on this glories of Krishna's supremacy. So Balaram's now awake, and in the next verse we're probably going to get to hear about Lord Brahma returning and his rude awakening on what in the world is going on. He gets to see what's the result of having played with the fire, as Jnanivas Prabhu mentioned, testing his Lord. But in the purport, Srila Prabhupada spends a great deal of it discussing about the tattva of Krishna's one, but he has unlimited shaktis. Shakti, shakti, mator, abheda. And they're non-different. The potency and the possessor of the potency, in one sense, they're all one. Inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different. And Srila Prabhupada, to substantiate this, he quotes Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita. These are some of the first verses we all learn when we became devotees. Bhumir apanilo vayur kamano bhurevacha. Hankara iti yame bina prakadir astada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energies. Our previous acharyas, both Baladev Vidyabhushana and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, say that in that one verse, touching on eight elements, are all 24 elements of material nature. That included with the gross elements are the sense objects from which they come. Like everything starts with sound. So from sound comes ether. From ether, what comes next? Hearing, and then it would be the touch, the wind, or air. And then from that comes form, and from the sense object of form comes fire. And from fire comes taste, which evolves into water. And from water evolves the sense of fragrance, which then develops into earth. And the intelligence is referring, well, the false ego includes all of the 10, you could say 11 sense organs, five working, five knowledge inquiring senses, and also the mind. And the mind refers to mana. See if I can remember correctly. Intelligence refers to the mahat-tattva, and mind or mana refers to the avyakta, the unmanifest stage of the mahat-tattva. So all 24 elements are included in this one statement by the Supreme Lord. And when I read this purport, I had a smile, because those of us who are oldies but goldies can remember that, hey, wait a second, this is the way it was in the Bhagavad Gita that I read when I became a devotee. Srila Prabhupada said, O mighty armed Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. Today's Bhagavad Gita that we read from, besides these, O mighty armed Arjuna, there's another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior nature. And it's, I'm making a point of it because, what, is there a mistake here on the use of sustaining the universe? Srila Prabhupada's using this. It was used previously in the older Bhagavad Gita. But with a little study, you will find out that that's how Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master translated it. He said, he translated, who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The jivas, the aparyam itastvanyam, the superior nature, are sustaining the universe. And he's not alone. In fact, Ramanujacharya, in his commentary on this verse in his Bhagavad Gita, he says the same thing, sustaining the universe. So, in order to understand how can the living entity sustain the universe, Srila Prabhupada in the purport says, the living entities who are exploiting these inferior energies for different purposes are the superior energy of the Supreme Lord. And it is due to this energy that the entire material world functions. The cosmic manifestation has no power to act unless it is moved by the superior energy, the living entity. Now, of course, we know Krishna, as he says in a couple of verses later, in the next verse, he says, hey, I'm the source of all these energies, superior and inferior. All created beings have their source in these two natures, and of all that's material and all that is spiritual in this world, know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. O conqueror of wealth, there's no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So Krishna is the creator, sustainer, and destroyer of the material world. He has his agents who serve him in those capacities, but it is he and he alone. I just found out this morning that I'll be giving class tomorrow again, so I'm not going to go to the four nutshell verses of the Bhagavatam today. I think I'll save it for Brahma's verse. But that's one of the verses. You should know that it's I alone who existed before creation. It is I who exists during creation and after creation's unmanifest. I alone exist. So Krishna, of course, is sustaining the universe. But why has he created the universe? Because he's such a loving, wonderful person. And out of love for us wayward children, he's given us a playground whereby we can become our character can become reformed. We can try to fulfill our desires. We heard 8,400,000 different desires, species of life in which you try to be happy, kicking Krishna off his identity as the Ishwara and the enjoyer. We can give it our best shot, and we do. Gosh, it seems eternally. That's why we're known as Nityabhada, the fallible living entities. But after some time, after a long, long, long time, by the mercy of the Lord, and when there's just a little bit of incentive of, I'm tired of suffering, and the living entity just begins to turn their face away from all this nonsense and wonders, why am I suffering? Super soul, right there, uses everything of this world to help us get back on the track of establishing our forgotten relationship of service with Him. He's just waiting anxiously for the moment when the living entity begins to turn away from the futile endeavor to enjoy and control this material energy. But He's so kind, He gave us the opportunity. And He's even more kind that once we do that, then He personally steps in. One who renders devotional service or comes into the association of devotees and is instructed in how, in who one is first and how one can serve Krishna, then Krishna will take him under his shelter. And it's through the manifestation of his devotee, no doubt. In this verse that Prabhupada quoted, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam. Krishna is Achyuta, he's infallible. But those pure loving devotees of the Lord who are representatives of the Lord, they also are infallible in their desire to serve Krishna. The lovers of Krishna, whatever way in which they want to serve the Lord reciprocates and He facilitates. It's His great pleasure to do so. And the devotees, the preachers, the representative of the Lord, they know what Krishna wants. He doesn't want us suffering. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be involved in the wonderful pastimes that are going on eternally, that we're being given the opportunity to hear about in the pages of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And once you get under the shelter of such a devotee, they will do everything in their power for you not to elude their shelter. We're so very fortunate. So in this way, due to the desire, whether it be material to begin with out of envy, all living entities are covered with desire and hate, as Krishna says, the Nityabhadas, the fallible jivas of this world. But we can be reformed and brought back to our uncontaminated original consciousness. We can return and become one of the infallible living entities. That's our birthright, and that's what's being offered in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So this Siddhanta, it's very important. Bhakti Siddhanta is glorified as Namaste Gauravani Sri Murtye Dinatarne Rupanuga Aparuda. Rupanuga Vruda Apa Siddhanta Dwantaharane. That He was the guardian. He was always on lookout for when something was going amiss from the Siddhanta given by Srila Rupa Goswami. And that's what, it's part of the empowerment of Srila Prabhupada in his spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the entire world, was that he remained chaste to the teachings and the Siddhanta given by his spiritual master, and prayed relentlessly for the empowerment, for the mercy to be received, that he take up the service that his spiritual master gave him. So I couldn't help but remember when I saw this verse sustaining the universe. Personally, I think of the verse from the first canto. The Srimad Bhagavatam, even if it is imperfectly composed, the Bhagavatam or any glorification of the Lord for that matter, by pure devotees, even if it is imperfectly composed, those who are honest, those who are sincere of purpose, they will hear, they will describe, they will relish such topics, even if there are seemingly flaws in its presentation. And personally, I have to say, just for, you know, not to get into controversial waters or what have you, but we became devotees with the Bhagavad Gita that's no longer distributed for the most part in ISKCON. And now so many devotees have become devotees from a later edition of Bhagavad Gita. And I always see and remember that quote of Srila Prabhupada's, judge by the results. Are people becoming devotees? If they are, it's because of the Krishna Shakti invested in the transcendental words of Srila Prabhupada, entering into the hearts, cleansing the hearts, transcendental knowledge reawakening. As it said, Balaram reawakened his transcendental eye of knowledge. So by the mercy of Krishna, his representative, Balaram, possessor of the transcendental knowledge, they are giving. It comes through to those who are sincere. I will share, I have done it on Memories of Srila Prabhupada, and for me it was it's something that I'll always remember, and it kind of set the direction for my desired aspiration of growth in Krishna consciousness. But when I was in Vrindavan in 1977 and Srila Prabhupada was on his roof and there was some sannyasis and there were several fortunate disciples, men and women sitting around, and we were reading from first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And they read the verse, Sanskrit, and then they read the word for word transliteration, the synonyms, and it's all in Leelamrita, Srila Prabhupada's Leelamrita, but I happened to see, so I'm repeating. It came to mind in reading this nectarian purport. And they read Muni, or Muniya, and there was a verb for the synonyms. And Prabhupada said, what? Reread that. And they read Muni, and then they read a verb. And Prabhupada said, I didn't say that. Who has done this? And then we kind of broke out of our ignorance, realizing, yeah, Muni means a thoughtful sage. It's a noun. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada became very upset. And that's downplaying it. He became very angry. He said, what nonsense has changed this? Who do they think they are? He said, you change one word of my books and you can destroy this movement. Holy smokes. Such chastity to the transcendental message that he received from his spiritual master and trying to give to us that realization that when we say Bhagavad Gita as it is, when we say the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, it means as it is, not adding or subtracting. Srila Prabhupada countless times said that was his credit. That I simply accepted it as it is, and I'm giving you the service, the message, the knowledge as it is. So I'm not trying to be controversial here. I'm stating a pastime, and it has validity for everyone for the next 10,000 years who wants to be a follower of Srila Prabhupada. Actually, a follower is more important than having the label of being a disciple. Srila Prabhupada has so many disciples, and some of them are not acting as disciples. They're not following. Disciple means discipline. But something that I learned from our godbrother, my friend Padmalochan Prabhu, it goes beyond just following the instructions. There's a certain amount of affection and chastity where you will do your best to not change or deviate even the mood of the spiritual master. What to speak of his instructions? He said that kind of chastity is what qualifies us, which shows our sincerity of purpose, where the spiritual master wants to take us to the back door of Gokula Vrindavan. Unqualified as we are, no, I'm inviting them. Don't kick them out. I know they're not qualified, but please, Krishna, give them a chance. Let them take birth with the Vrajvasis. Let them learn how to love you in their association. This chastity and this loyalty is of utmost importance. And the analogy was given like sometimes the different groups of the gopis in Vrindavan, sometimes they send spies to the different groups to see what's going on. What's Radharani's group up to? What's Chandravali's group up to? And if they're found out, oh my God, there's some transcendental anger. Get out of here. Who are you? You're not loyal to our mistress. So in the same way, the heart, it's a very, in Krishna consciousness on the transcendental platform, it can be oceanic in its love for Krishna and those dear to Krishna. And when we say, Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha, as a younger devotee, I used to be a little fanatical. Srila Prabhupada alone, Srila Prabhupada. But he's not alone. He's my Lord and Master. He is doing his best to open up my blind, sleep-filled eyes to the transcendental reality. And in doing so, he's asking for the blessings of all the previous acharyas and is inviting you and me to take advantage of their mercy, their instructions, through the medium of Srila Prabhupada's instructions. If someone is repeating the message of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada even has this one verse in the Nectar of Devotion, the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, where he said there are many societies of pure devotees. And it is beneficial for one to take advantage of pure devotional devotee association. But when one is not established firmly in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, what did Srila Prabhupada have to do for neophyte devotees? Put the fences up. Don't go there. You hear one thing different from what I've taught you, and you'll become bewildered. Now, that was certainly a stage in the Krishna consciousness of many of Prabhupada's disciples. Some devotees did become bewildered. Some devotees left Krishna consciousness altogether. Some devotees thought it would be a better idea to take shelter of somebody else, thinking they would give them more or the real thing in Krishna consciousness, etc. So unfortunate. Everyone has the independence to do as they like. Srila Prabhupada is giving us his everything. And if we don't take advantage of it, sometimes he would say, what can I do? Parentheses, but on the bright side, Krishna is Bhava Grahi Janardana. He sees the good in the attempt to serve. But he's our ever well-wisher. And he's protecting us from everything that can detract us from Krishna consciousness. This purport is dealing with, you know, the Mayavadis misunderstand. It's all one. The Absolute is Brahman. And they can quote verses from Shruti declaring it's all one, it's formless, etc. But the Vaishnavas have our references from the same Shruti, the same Upanishads, etc., that no, beyond this form and formlessness, there's the Supreme Person. Everything is subordinate to him. It's the great transcendental mystery of spiritual knowledge, devotional service and love for Krishna. And that's only given to one who has implicit faith in both Krishna and guru. Guru meaning any representative who is helping me in my surrender, my reawakening of service, eternal service to the Lord. If somebody gives you something different, that's not siksha guru. If somebody is bona fide and you perceive it as different, then you might have a problem in your understanding. But we're Prabhupada Anugas, and we're trying to absorb these teachings and apply them in our life, just like Balaram. Once he realized what was going on, then he went with it. It only had to last for 4 more days. When Lord Brahma came, it was exactly a year. And just like a year before, when he stole the calves and the coward boys, Lord Balaram wasn't there. It was his birthday. Rohini had kept him back home again. So it was just like when Lord Brahma had come originally, just a moment before in his time. Krishna was there with the yogurt and the rice and the pickles, like Janani Vas Prabhu says, in between the fingers in his left hand, surrounded by his cowherd boyfriends, enjoying in the forest, in the calves, etc. So very sweet. So wonderful what Srila Prabhupada is offering us. He's our bridge. He's our connection to the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And if we please him, then he will reawaken. He will give us the transcendental knowledge. He will give us the ability to appreciate what good fortune we have and to never and help us come to the point of never forgetting that good fortune. What to speak of turning away from it or lessening in our desire to grow continually in service to Krishna. So I hope this wasn't too much of a tangent, but there's some thoughts that came to mind when reading this purport. I hadn't seen that translation in a long time. There was one thing I was going to share in terms of understanding the teachings of the spiritual master. We talked about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and he was writing a commentary on the Kama Gayatri. And he was studying Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who wouldn't read that nectar? Wow, Krishnadas Kaviraj, he's compiled the pastimes and the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. But in it, in Madhya Lila, it describes that Krishna, the Kama Gayatri, is non-different from Krishna. It possesses 24 and a half syllables, which are synonymous with the 24 and a half moons, which his transcendental body is comprised of. There's 10 fingernails, 10 toenails. There's a right cheek, a left cheek. There's a sandalwood dot on his forehead. Those are all moons. His face is the king of the moons, the biggest and the brightest, the most prominent of them all. That's 24 moons. And then there's a half moon, his forehead. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as Srila Prabhupada glorified, he said, "What a scholar! Not since Jiva Goswami has there been such a scholar, such a devotee, glorifying the Lord so wonderfully." But he couldn't understand 24 and a half. He was counting like 25, if memory serves me correctly. And he actually considered committing suicide because he couldn't understand how Krishnadas Kaviraj, his guru, would say it was 24 and a half. And rather than commit the offense of thinking himself to know more than his authority, an acharya, he was ready to commit suicide and give up this useless body and mind that can't even comprehend, that would actually think he's wrong, I know better. And Srimati Radharani herself came to him in a dream, in a vision, however we use the English language. He said, no, no, hold on. Krishna Das Kaviraj, he's my very dear devotee, and he's correct. Look in this particular scripture. And it was a very, how would you say, not so commonly known scripture. But in it, it talked about some of the Sanskrit rules, and I don't have it memorized. I wish I did for the presentation of this point. But it said, when such and such syllable follows another syllable, then it becomes a half syllable instead of two full ones. And in this way, there were 24 and a half. And he followed Srimati Radharani's instruction. He found the scripture. He read it. And sure enough, of course, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was right. And it's the same way for Srila Prabhupada. I've told the pastime before. Srila Govinda, Gaur Govinda Maharaj, was given the instruction to translate Srila Prabhupada's books from English into the Ori language for the Arisan devotees. And there were many Sanskrit words, a good long list of them, that he couldn't understand how Srila Prabhupada would translate a Sanskrit word into this English word. And he took it to his Sanskrit professor from his college days. It's one of the way it was described, he was one of the foremost Sanskrit scholars. He was a very elderly man, and he had such an incredible library on, you know, Sanskrit works. And he gave him the list of questions. He wanted to understand how my spiritual master is correct. That's proper use of intelligence. Not using intelligence like, this looks wrong. No, not at all. He asked him, can you please help me understand this? My spiritual master says it is this, it has to be this, but I can't understand. And so he took the list, he said, give me some time. And he went and he researched in his library and all the different Sanskrit words that Srila Prabhupada had used with, you might say, unconventional definitions. After some time, a couple weeks, some time, the professor was ready to respond to Gaur Govinda Maharaj's inquiries. And he said, I've done the homework. My conclusion is that your spiritual master has the foremost grasp of Sanskrit on the planet. He is using Sanskrit and understanding it in ways that are way beyond anybody else, that haven't been used for the longest time, are very subtle, as is the glories of Krishna, the inconceivable topics of Krishna. And he glorified him to no end, and Gaur Govinda Maharaj was so satisfied to hear his spiritual master glorified, and then could continue on in his service of translating as a faithful disciple. So the faithful disciple becomes empowered and becomes the teacher for the next set of fortunate conditioned souls. So anyway, I know we all pray to be so empowered, and that's why we hear and chant Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees coming from the realizations of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Are there any questions or comments?
Questions from online. Thank you for Prabhu's excellent class. So, during this year, how Srimati Radharani is participating in these pastimes? From Sitala Devidasi.
How is Srimati Radharani participating in this pastime? I don't hear her being mentioned in this pastime, do you? Jalungi, have you heard her mentioned? In all of your Acharya's commentaries, have you heard her mentioned? That's because at this point in time, the main emphasis is the Sakya Ras being glorified. Vatsalya is the prominent emphasis in his earliest stage of Kumara, then the next stage is, what's the name of the next stage? After 5 years? Pogunda is 5 years on to 10. So then the emphasis is on the Sakya, friendship, relationship. And afterwards, later on, we're going to hear when he picks up that flute and starts playing to attract the damsels. They're becoming attracted already a little bit later on down the line because they're seeing Krishna come in from the fields, from the forest with the cows and calves. But they're quite young at this point. He's basically 5 years old. So this is not the emphasis at this time. She's not brought into the Brahma Vimohana Leela.
Another question from Jamuna Priya Devidasi. Thank you for Prabhu's excellent class. I want to understand when Krishna is as usual and he's taking lunch prasadam and playing with all these cowherd boys, can we understand he's playing with himself? And then when he's playing with himself, how his experience is the same or different than the time that he's playing with the other cowherd boys? The pleasure he's getting is different or same? Thank you.
Thank you for such a wonderful question. I think this was touched on in a previous class, but he's not enjoying reciprocating with himself as much as he does when reciprocating with Sridham, Sudham, and all the other cowherd boys. It's not giving him as much pleasure. Krishna's pleasure is found in lovingly reciprocating with his devotees. He's Atma Ram. But even though he's Atma Ram, what does he do? I assume you read this purport because you quoted that Eko Bahosham. Maybe it came to you without having read it. But that's what he does. You ask the question, why does he expand himself unlimitedly? For his pleasure. So he wants to reciprocate. It's about love. And that's what defeats the Mayavadis. One very aspect. We all want love. And when there's love, there has to be at least two. There's Bhakta, Bhagavan, and Bhakti. If there were any one of them was missing, then it would be incomplete. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, once again, he says that he was not feeling separation from his boyfriends and the calves, because in an expanded form that he had gone out to look for the calves, he was staying close to them where he had hidden them. I think we heard the boys were on the bank of the river and the calves were very close by in the forest. So he had it's all inconceivable, but I can hear and I can repeat and I can certainly appreciate how sweet this is. So, is that good enough? I'm sure he's very happy that Brahma's finally come back. What took you so long? And Brahma's asking for forgiveness when all's said and done with the Leela. It's time to wrap it up. He's not even paying him any attention. It's time to bring out the real coward boys and calves. And Krishna just wants to get back in their company. Let's start playing again. What did you say your mother made for you? What was the prasadam that you were going to offer me? And feeling the neglect, Brahma understood his position. He was intruding. He wasn't qualified. Begs his forgiveness, foreheads on the ground at the feet of Krishna, and then he goes off. Comes to Navadvip, Antardvip, to do penance and get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya so he'll never be bewildered by such pride again. Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu.
Oh, Nice class, Prabhu. I was standing next to Gorgovinda when he was on his way out to go check on these words that he couldn't find anything in the dictionary or any of his books.
Oh, this is good. Eyewitness.
I was right there. And so he was with a friend of his who was a Sanskrit scholar. And I paid my obeisances, and the scholar said, all the anarthas fly away as soon as you pay your obeisances. Off they went to check on these words. Because he didn't have any record of that, those words in his library. You mentioned a lot about Balaram. And there's an incident when Prabhupada installed Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan. He says, now everything will be okay because Balaram is here.
If you couldn't understand, can I just repeat that one line? Maybe you should hold the mic just a touch away from your mouth so it's a little clear. But Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhu said that when Krishna and Balaram were installed, Srila Prabhupada said, now everything will be okay because Balaram is here.
Then there was an incident. I have to have a distance.
Good.
So there's a devotee in L.A. who was looking through the keyhole, checking on Prabhupada's activities. The first thing he saw was Prabhupada sitting there with a light shining from nowhere. He was embellished by all this light, and he was looking like he was made out of crystal. The eyes were diamonds. And so the devotee walked away, said, I don't want to interfere with this. Then later he looked again. He saw Prabhupada rolling on the floor, laughing and having a good time, all by himself. And then he asked Prabhupada later, I didn't want to interfere, but I was just checking to see if you were okay, if you needed anything. But I saw you rolling on the floor. He said, well, I'm sorry, I don't do that very often. I was just wrestling with Balaram.
Haribo!
Prabhupada wrestled with Balaram. Can you believe that one?
You can give a name to that pastime?
Well, Radhakund Das was telling me the story from a devotee who told him who saw it.
Do you know who saw it?
I don't know the guy's name.
Okay.
But he was a very early devotee, and blew up very early in life.
Okay.
There's a lot of pastimes Prabhupada's miracles took place, but those are chief one, the wrestling of Balaram.
Krishna Balaram ki.
Then there's one more. That Prabhupada didn't go to Bhubaneswar for some reason, didn't stop there. And so then he said that he was invited by Lord Shiva to come because you go all over the world and you don't come to see me in Bhubaneswar?
Jai. I think they could hear that. But if not, another pastime. Srila Prabhupada went to Bhubaneswar in, it was early 1977, right? It was right before I came to India. So, and he stayed there for a week and a half or something like that. 2 weeks. And he said that one of the reasons why he went there was because Lord Shiva was asking, what's the deal? You travel around the whole world and you never come to visit me here in Bhubaneswara? Jai. Thank you.
I asked that question, which...
Which was?
Which Jilangi, somebody asked, Jilangi Mataji. The Radharani's position in that, because when Krishna expanded as all the boys, he expanded as Sridham. Sridham's Radharani's brother. So then he's living with her in the same house. So, you know, when Krishna assumed the form of Vishnu and the gopis came, he couldn't hold it. He couldn't keep that form, the forearm form. He had to. So I thought, how did Krishna manage to live in the same with Radharani in the same house and not and maintain his identity of Sridham? And I asked several devotees, but
that's a question, Pankajangi Prabhu.
They said they never heard anything either.
That's a Swami stumper.
They
Then another question, I just thought it was we don't hear that the cowherd, the men and the cowherd ladies had love for the cows. They love the boys equally, but it doesn't mention they love the calves, which were also Krishna. Have you heard anything on that?
No, have you? It's interesting, isn't it? The cows are primarily understood to be in Shantaras, isn't it? For the most part.
Generally, in Golok, it's a little different. There's something in Vatsala Bhava also.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it's trying to think about hearing your question, why weren't the cowherd men and elderly ladies attracted to the cows in the same way? But the medium of service or reciprocation. There has to be a rasa there, so I don't know how it'd be much easier connection between the children and whether they're the parents or the cows comes to mind.
They already have love for cows anyway.
Yeah,
it's a life, but we don't hear that love increased for the cows.
Yeah. Yeah, I read it this morning. I was really surprised. Yoga Maya is so incredible that they were all increasing their love for all the boys and all the calves. Like exponentially, love of God just keeps on growing and growing and growing. It went on for a whole year and nobody thought even twice about it. It's like...
Well, so much ecstasy, you wouldn't think about it. If it's increasing every day.
Much to think about. Thank you. Anything else, Prabhu? Wait.
Krishna Balaram, Prabhupada said, now we are successful, Balaram is here. Now Balaram here, everything is okay?
Yeah.
Is that the statement?
That's what he said, yes.
Okay.
Now everything is okay, Balaram's here.
Everything is okay because Balaram is here now. I was once in Prabhupada's room with Bhavananda, and Prabhupada, he said to him, he said, are we worshipping Gaunitai here or Krishna Balaram? Are we worshipping any form of Balaram here? And Prabhupada said, Above Nanda said, yes, Prabhupada. Which we actually weren't. Well, we were, I think, Gaunitai from Namahat group, that Guru Kripa's party, they had a Gaunitai. So they would come and sit on the altar. So, oh, sorry. Nitai Padakamalam. Nitai Padakamalam, sorry. The deities went on the boat called Nitai Padakamalam. They would come and stay in the temple during the rainy season. And then after the rainy season, they would go out again preaching on the Ganga with the boat. But actually, they weren't there at that time when Prabhupada asked that. They were out. Their Gaunitai was out. But he was concerned also about Mayapur. How were you worshipping Krishna Balaram here or Gaunitai here at that time? Krishna Balaram ki jai.
Jai.
Well, if Radharani was there and everyone else was Krishna, how would she relate? Her lover is Krishna, and Krishna has expanded himself into thousands. So if she was there, what would her reaction be? If Srimati Radharani was there, and they were all Krishna, all the boys, and they caught, everything was Krishna.
But if Yogamaya can cover Krishna and Balaram, surely she can cover Srimati Radharani as well?
She can do.
So she would carry on with her brother or his friends or the calves as she would have before, they more affectionately, but in the same way. That's my thought on the matter.
In the Govardhan Leela, Krishna expanded himself from, manifested the form Govardhan, which is a rock, the mountain. So he's directly the son of Nanda Maharaj.
Giriraj Maharaj ki.
Now how come Radharani have an intimate relationship with a rock? She is a Madhudirasa. And her Krishna is in the form of a rock.
But they see him as a servant of Krishna, isn't it? I've gotten this from you. The emphasis of the gopis is they glorify Giriraj as the servant, such an exalted, the best of servants of Krishna, not as Krishna.
No, they worship as Krishna. Krishna Das Kaviraj, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said, when Raghunath Das gets that, sees that Srila, he sees directly the son of Nanda Maharaj.
But that's the sadhika side of it, huh? Isn't it? That's Gaura Leela. You were asking about the gopis. How would Radharani...
I was asking, if Radharani was there, how would she relate? She loves Krishna, but they're all Krishna. She has many, many boyfriends. But in the Govardhan Leela, it's mentioned by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur again. Because everybody come to see how Krishna had assumed his form from Govardhan. They're all astonished, so Radharani and all the gopis also came. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, she was deceived by Krishna.
Deceived.
She was deceived by Krishna. So she couldn't really understand. She was bewildered also. Deceived.
Yogamaya.
In Yogamaya, so she. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur ki.
Ja.
My question continued with Pankajanga Prabhu's question, because we heard during this year all the young girls, they love Krishna so much. So by Yogamaya's arrangement, and then all the cowherd boys and cowherd girls, they're getting married during this year. That means Radharani is also married. Then that means even Abhimanyu is also Krishna. Is that true? Please give a comment on this. Someone has to take the mic. If Abhimanyu is Krishna, then how is Padma married? They all get married during this year.
They all get married during this
year. So during this year, at this period, all the gopis got married. They were going to get married earlier to Krishna, Radharani. She was going to, her parents were going to marry her to Krishna. And Jasoda was ecstatic, and she told Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and he said, "What, my daughter? That's all I ever wanted for my daughter, to marry Krishna." Everybody's completely ecstatic. We start this marriage ceremony. But then Purnamasi came. Hey, what are you doing? Stop everything. This is not the time. This is the Rasa Vas. This is Radha Krishna. This is Swaki. Not Swaki Rasa. So Purnamasi said, "Now I'll tell you when they should get. I'll wait when there's a good date, an auspicious date, you can get married." So it's during this year when Krishna become all the boys and calves and everything that she said, "Now is a good, very good time to get married. Let more married off." So she got. They all got married during that period. So they all married Krishna. What was the question?
Abhimanyu's not in. There's something about him not being. He's not an eternal associate. He's just manifest in earthly lila, right? And there's some statement like he's not full on cowherd boy. It's some kind of. Isn't there?
In the Brihadbhagavatam, right there.
Because
in the Brihadbhagavatam Rita, then they can.
Footnote, Purnamasi is, for those who, most devotees probably know, but for those who don't, Purnamasi is Yogamaya in Vrindavan, so she's orchestrating the whole Leela, as you were saying. You want to say something, Bhakti Siddhanta Prabhu?
There was an episode that took place the same time I was there in Bhubaneswar, and Bhagavat was talking to a few other senior disciples, Prabhupada, all Guru, God brothers. And they were saying that Prabhupada he's a Gopa. And Gaur Govinda heard it and said, "No, he's a Gopi. He's a Manjari, like the whole line are all Manjaris." Did I hear wrong? But when this was going on, this episode, somebody informed the gopis that if you want to get married, now's a good time to get married. You heard that? Because you're going to be marrying a cowherd boy and you're marrying Krishna directly.
Yeah, that's what they were just saying.
Somebody said that?
Jalangi just said that.
Who informed the gopis? I can't hear that, but...
Jalangi answered your question that Purnamasi made the arrangement. Wait, hold off on the marriages. And it took place during
this... That's all I got. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Thank you, Prabhu.